Welcome back to another episode of the Kitman Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in so much. And to I'm gonna start over.
Yeah, it's fine.
Welcome back to another episode of the Kitman Podcast. My name is Rohan. Thank you guys for tuning in. And be sure to drop 5 stars if you enjoyed today's episode. It helps us out a ton. With that said, let's get into the episode itself. I'm joined by Melina and Azam. Guys, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good as well. Excited to talk about this list. It was super, super hard to come up with, but yeah, you know, we'll see how it goes.
There's a lot of shockers on this list. This episode is ranking the top defenders in the Premier League. So that includes center backs and fullbacks, which made the list pretty spicy. There were a couple of interesting omissions from everyone, and it's a bit skewed because there's only 3 of us. So it's going to be a great episode. So let's kick it off. Let's kick it off right. In 11th, tied, is Tim Ream and Christian Romero.
Oh, Tim Ream and Christian Romero.
I had no involvement in either of these choices. I'll let Belita take it away because her list, when she sent it to me, it said in small parentheses, could be a howler.
No, so I was struggling to come up with the 10th. And I was like, who has just, like, stood out to me lately or in the media? And Tim Ream, for some reason, was the first name in my head. And honestly, Pep Guardiola validated me, so I don't have to, I don't have to explain.
He's having a great season. He is having a great season. And he had a good World Cup as well. I'm obviously responsible. I put Christian Romero in 10th, which is something that I agonized over as well, because I honestly wanted to put him higher, but there's just like so many names that I felt like I had to include in this list that I felt like there's going to be a lot of people that like dropped off or are lower than I wanted to put them. But you know, I love Christian Romero, super aggressive center back, very good. With the ball at his feet, he's good. He's not phenomenal, but he's just such an incredible winner of tackles. And I think he's like an asset to your team as well in terms of like his mentality and just, you know, physicality on the field as well.
See, that's a beauty in combining center backs and fullbacks. We get Tim Ream in there and Christian Romero. I also like Christian Romero. I just couldn't find space for him on this list. I also love Tim Ream, but once again, no space on the list. So let's move into 10th. Another tie. Oh, my gosh. We have Luke Shaw and Aymeric Laporte. Yeah. Azam, the O, what's that for?
I forgot about Luke Shaw. Actually, I don't know if he still would have made my list just because it was my list is very much, I'm sure you noticed, like heavily center back based. I don't know why. Just in my head when I had defender, I just wanted people who I assumed, you know, or I thought of as very talented defender. So actually, I didn't have either of these people on my list. So I'll let Melina and you guys talk about it more.
I mean, have you seen Luke Shaw at center back?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm better at center back than left. I don't know. The last couple, or whenever he was played at center back, I just felt like he came back into himself. You know those like one-off games Luke Shaw has as a left back and you're thinking, oh my God, this guy could be literally the best left back in the world?
Euro 2020 final?
Yeah, exactly. And it gave me echoes of that because I think he's been playing center back lately.
He has, yeah.
That's true. I surprised myself by putting Laporte in this list. I cannot stand the fella. But I put him in anyway, and honestly, I should have dropped him for someone else. I've had a howler, and we'll get into that
later okay.
in the list.
It started out when we first got on, he was like, Melina, I messed up, and I was like, yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, I fucked up, but
we'll, I will say, yeah, if
we'll
I had,
there. We'll get there.
If oh, it was a fullbacks way, list, yeah, sorry, keep going.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, by the way, we started at 11th. No one has more than, okay, so at 6th place is the point where multiple people have a player on their list. So far, from 11th to 7th, it's just one person having a player on their list.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
very interesting.
We're
right?
not good at this.
No.
It's all about what you value, right? Like, I think that some lists will have more fullbacks than others. My list has, I think, 2 fullbacks, 3, but one of them's kind of, oh, actually, yeah, someone dropped off my list. I forgot at the end. I think if it was a fullback list, I would have had Luke Shaw almost near the top because I think he's got the full locker. I'm just very center back biased in my list.
That's fair.
I just realized none of us put João Cancelo. Should we talk about that?
We can, yeah.
Smelly. Smelly.
I mean, it's a defender's list, which is what I thought to myself. It's a defender's list, so.
It is a defender. Okay, I think we've said everything we need to say. Yeah, Bro's not a defender. He's a winger playing out of position. Okay, ninth place then. Rafael Varane. Molina, take it away. That was all you.
Really? I was the only one who had Varane?
Let me double check.
I did not.
Yeah, you were.
That's surprising.
The stats prove it.
Wow. Numbers don't lie. I put Varane in because I think whoever you put next to him in the center back partnership, he makes them look so much better. I think he could make Harry Maguire look so much better than he actually is. I think people might think that's, you know, he shouldn't be on this list because of that, like, terrible first season he had at United. But he was also so injured, and I think this season he's really coming into his own, especially under Erik ten Hag. You guys know I love Erik ten Hag and everything he's doing there. So, yeah, with Varane, I think you put anybody next to him, and he's, like, shining like a star. He's so tall. Literally, when I watch him, I'm like, yep, I want you at my team.
I left him off personally. He was originally on my list, but as the list kept iterating, he ended up dropping off just because I felt like, again, my list is very center back biased, but the rest of the center backs I had on my list I think are super good defensively, like Varane, but they were just a little bit better with the ball at their feet. I think that's my one complaint with Varane at times is that, you know, he's a bit weak on the ball. I don't feel calm sometimes when he's playing out of the back. I think he's been really improved by... Our United's back line has been really improved by Lisandro Martinez's ball playing ability. So that's how we've seen such a big improvement in them. Whereas before, you know, I think they were lacking a bit between them, De Gea and Varane. But he's a phenomenal defender. Defensively, I mean, he's fast. He's strong. He wins tackles. You know, he's like your traditional center back.
Yeah.
Okay. So I won't lie. Looking back at my list now, I'm not extremely proud of it. And it's because I was okay. Well, yeah, no, I'll say it. I was doing it in the restroom at work. I was hiding in the restroom and doing it because, like, I forgot until today and there was no time. So I should have had Varane on my list. But that's the thing, because there's fullbacks, it's just so much harder. And I think he's a top, like, seven center back for sure. I don't know exactly how many center backs I had on my list, but. I did have a lot of fullbacks because I love fullbacks. With that said, though, let's move on to eighth, where we have another center back, Azam only, Gabriel.
I'm the only one with Gabriel on the list?
Bro, can't
okay.
kick a ball. Can't kick a ball.
See. I would have backed that at the start of the season. I think that he has, and this is going to be a hot take to a lot of people, I think that he has been better than Saliba overall this season. I think he had some hairy moments to start, but especially in Arsenal's recent run, where I think they've been really impressive beating top teams, I think Gabriel has been almost spotless. And to me, he turned me around, because if you look at some of my tweets from earlier in the year, I was furious with this guy. It felt like every big match he made some sort of, you know, doofus error. He gave away a penalty against Spurs, I think, too. And, you know, he's done some bozo errors where my big complaint with him in the past was that when the game got chaotic, I felt like he succumbed to that chaos instead of being like a calming force. But again, he's improved that, in my opinion. You know, there's been really chaotic times for Arsenal's and recent matches, really tough moments. And I think he's shined in those moments, even brighter than Saliba. So, yeah, I mean, he's turned me around. So, I don't know. That's all I can say about Gabriel.
Your thoughts, Molina?
This might be my Chelsea bias, anti-Arsenal agenda.
That's what I was looking for. That's why I went to you. That's what I was looking for.
You guys know I'm good for the shithouse only. But yeah, I have two other Arsenal players in here, and it would kill me to have three. And also,
sure.
I'm just not a fan of him, personally. I just think he talks a lot of shit. And I mean, you're talking...
He whines.
So talk your shit, but, like, relax a little bit.
He always reminds me of, like, when Carlos Boozer used to get an offensive foul for the Bulls. He's always looking around, like, I think that's what Gabriel's looking around all the time, like, too, when things don't go right, which is kind of funny.
No, that's fair. I will say his ball-playing ability has gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
I remember even against City, I think he got sent off last season.
Mm-hmm.
For a stupid challenge that he shouldn't have made. And he did, you're right, he does succumb to the chaos. It's been limited a lot now, but I think it's just because Arsenal are in good form. Once Arsenal has a dip in form, he's going to dip with them. But, no, I like him. I don't think it's crazy to say he's been better than Saliba. I can see why a lot of people would think it was crazy, but I don't think it's that crazy of a take. I do like him. He's definitely improving. Okay, let's move into seventh. I was surprised with this one. I'm the only one who had this player here. On 6 points, I had him, which means I had him in fifth. It's Trent Alexander-Arnold.
No.
I had him on my list, and he was actually the player that I was like, do I put him in fourth? Do I put him in eighth? Do I put him in? And he ended up dropping off my list completely just because he's really hard to quantify for me as a defender. I think the conversations about him being bad defensively are a bit overstated. I think he's underrated as a defender, but he's still not elite as a defender. You know, he doesn't wow me. I think he gets the job done. I like him much more going forward. But again, just the players on this list, I feel like Trent can sometimes almost, you know, pose the way Liverpool want to play. You know, they have to cover for him defensively. And I looked at a lot of other players on this list, and I think nobody's having to cover for these players defensively. So in my top 10 defenders, I don't know if he makes it. Trent's just, I don't even know what position he plays, to be honest. He's like a right mid, right back. I don't even know. Yeah.
So my whole beef with Trent is, like, this guy is screaming to be, like, on the wing. Do not try and sell me Trent as a right back when he has no defensive gene. Like, you know how we say Reece James has that gene, or Trent is the better overall player, but Reece James is the better defender. That's what he lacks. So stop trying to sell me him as a right back. When 2 weeks ago he was getting dusted by Mitoma. To be fair, everybody is, but that game versus Napoli, just ball watching, like not doing anything at all. So I find it very hard to put him in a defenders, like top 10 defenders list. If he was a winger, I'd put him for sure. And I just have so much beef with him. Like the stat padding from last season, don't even get me started. The crosses into the box, you're crossing into the box to Mo Salah. That dude last season turned like water into wine. He turned goals like from dust into goals. So I could cross into the box to Mo Salah 100 times.
No, come on. Don't do Trent like that.
Like, you could have a very average right wing back, winger, whatever, crossing into the box to Mo Salah, Sadio Mane.
I don't know. I think Trent's one of the best passers in the league, to be honest.
He's a better passer than Reece James, too.
I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying people are so, like, overemphasized on that. Like, he's such a good right back because he does this. His job as a right back is to defend. Everything he does extra to that, the assists, the goals, that's superfluous to his job. I understand it's, like, good that he does that, and it's fantastic. I know, but just don't sell me him as a right back. He's not a right back.
Okay, I see that. He's a defender. He should defend. But those balls he puts into the box are on a platter. It doesn't even have to be Mo Salah. It can be me in there, and I'm scoring.
You're switching it up. So you're saying that Melina says she could cross in. You're saying you just need to be on the end of Trent's crosses.
Oh, I'm saying I can do what Mo Salah does. That is what I'm saying.
No. I feel like Klopp, when he's going into a team talk before a game, when he's talking to Trent, he's probably talking to him more about what he's doing offensively than defensively, which kind of puts it, you know, I feel like that's where I don't class him as much as a right back as I do. He's just like a hybrid. He's there. He's on the right wing. He's on the right flank, and he's doing his job, which is great. It's just my top 10 defenders list. I don't know.
I also feel like people are looking for Trent Alexander-Arnold mistakes. We know Cancelo's a terrible defender, but it's so much more understated than Trent Alexander-Arnold. I think Cancelo's a worse defender than Trent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't even think Trent's a terrible defender. That's I just think that his like job when he gets on the field, that's why sometimes you see him walking too, is I don't think Klopp's telling him to defend. You know, he's sort of just telling him, you know, Trent's way more worried about what he's doing going forward than defensively. And I think he was used to being bailed out a lot by the likes of Van Dijk and Matip. And since Liverpool's press has dropped off, you know, it's been a bit more exposed. But I mean, I remember Klopp was even talking about it too. Like, Trent is up there to do something different, you know. We take a risk by pushing him forward because there's not enough space on the pitch, and we will pay for those mistakes, but we think that it's a net positive going the other way, you know.
He'll never do it, but it's going to shit over in Liverpool. He should go to Barca. It is going to shit. I think it's a great move for him. It's perfect for him.
I mean, I would love it.
That's what I'm saying. All right, let's move into sixth, where we had a tie, but they were on everyone's list. So round of applause for that. First players on everyone's list. Actually, first players on more than one person's list. We have tied Lisandro Martinez and William Saliba. So let's start off with Saliba because of the Gabriel comparison. Azam, he was lowest on yours, and obviously he was under Gabriel.
Yeah, it's more just based on what I've seen recently. You know, I think Saliba will be better than Gabriel. I think he's like has freakish potential. I just think recently we're starting to see a bit of his youth. You know, I think he's been a bit error prone. And I still think he just has room to develop, you know. Whereas I think like someone like Gabriel and Lisandro Martinez in particular are much closer to being their final product, you know, than Saliba will be. So, you know, come back to me with this list in 2 years, Saliba might be number one. You know, sometimes I believe that will happen. But just right now, he's a little bit error prone. I still think he's got some learning to do.
I would like to thank you for your sanity as an Arsenal fan. And I would also like to thank fuck for Dilett not being here, because I know Dilett puts him first and screws up this entire list. No, I agree. Saliba is a great defender. He's one of the best in the world. Not the best in the world. Not the best U23 in the world, for sure. Not the best U23 defender in the world. Arsenal fans will have you thinking differently. But, no, I agree with you. Melina?
Yeah, I think I put Saliba on here and not Gabriel, just like that comparison. I think I did this list more so who has just impressed me the most in that sort of order. Consider like contextualizing it too. His first season back at Arsenal, I think he was on loan a bunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he is slotted in damn near seamlessly as you could imagine a 21-year-old. And yeah, he's made some mistakes. They're gonna make mistakes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a learning curve. I can't imagine going from Ligue 1 to Prem is like, that's not an easy jump, I think. And very close to perfection in terms of how he's just slotted in there.
True. Okay, let's move on to the only man, I believe, to score a header against Arsenal this season, Lisandro Martinez. Melina, take it away.
I have been obsessed with him for a while. I think ever since he came into the league and everyone was like, what the hell are these dudes doing getting a 5'9 defender? And every time I heard about him from August to September was, oh, 5'9, 5'9, 5'9, shortest player in the league. But he has shown that he's a badass. Like, truly one of my favorite players to watch. Certainly one of my favorite center backs to watch, because he's so aggressive. He, he'll make a tackle, and you don't even know he's there, but it just looks so brutal. And
he doesn't care about his life either.
He does not care about his life. He does not care about his opponent's life. And that's what I like in defenders, just like ruthlessness. Like, show me your teeth. Like, do something. And he does it every single time. I'd go out on a limb. Other than Casemiro, I think Martinez has been United's most consistent player throughout the
Absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely.
That is an incredible pickup from Ten Hag.
I love Lisandro Martinez. I actually wanted to put him higher on my list. So if you guys don't know, like, I love Argentina, the Argentine national team, you know. And for me, for years, even when he was at Ajax, you know, I wanted him to get more minutes with the national team as well, because he can play left back, he can play holding mid, he can play center back. And I'm going to say he is so phenomenal defensively in terms of like winning tackles. I think he's right up there as the most, either the most or right up there with the other players, technically gifted players on United squad as well. He is a beast with the ball at his feet too. He is so progressive. He finds those gaps in the lines and he hits them with perfection. The weight of his passes, people like Molina was saying, talking about him being 5'9", as if we haven't seen phenomenal center backs in the past be, you know, around that height. He's proven, you know, if you have the awareness and the intelligence as a defender, it doesn't matter how tall you are. You know, I love this guy. I wish Arsenal had signed him.
I love him too. I think he's a really good defender. What I had him lowest, actually. I had him last on my list. Perhaps a bit harsh, but my thing is, end of the day, bro is still 5'9". one thing comes to mind. No. One thing comes to mind. That KDB cross to Holland against United when they won 6-3. If Lisandro Martinez is 3 inches taller, that ball's not getting through.
Sure.
He can't change that, though. And a 5'9 defender scored a header at the Emirates versus a 6'2 goalkeeper, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, I mean, let's calm down, though. Like, he more so threw himself at that ball.
Yeah, that ball was almost hitting the floor.
The crazy thing is, no. He's stat padding because if a normal-sized player is hitting that, they're hitting that with their foot, not their head.
It was, though. It was a perfect header. It was genuinely like perfect execution, which is what I say. Like, technically, he just executes. He's yeah.
Yeah, but like if Varane is in that situation, he's hitting that with his foot, not his hand.
Yeah, full throated volley for yeah. Sure. Yeah.
It's height stat padding for me. So. All right, fifth place, Sven Botman, highest on Molina's list, I believe, by a lot. Me and Nizam had him in the same place.
What is this, fifth, you guys said?
Yes.
Okay, I had him at third. Because Newcastle have only conceded 11 goals this season, and that's just the craziest stat I've ever heard in my life. And he's part of that. Oh my god. I left somebody off.
This will be interesting.
I don't know who it is. It's a Newcastle player.
Who also yeah.
Plays... but yeah, my howler aside, yeah, he's just rock solid back there. That entire, you could honestly put the whole Newcastle defense, the reserves on this list, and I, you know, 11 goals conceded in the end of January, insane.
Okay. Yeah, for me, Botman, I felt like I had to include him just because Newcastle's defense has been so phenomenal. But I feel like I put him lower just because. Maybe it's that Newcastle bias for me where I'm just still not like almost rating them as they should be rated.
No, I'm with you,
but I mean, he's another one who's got pretty much like the locker as a center back, you know, and he has, I would label him and probably Nick Pope as being, you know, the keys to sort of turning around Newcastle's defensive fortune in terms of like a combination. You know, so he's right at the fore of arguably, well, is it even arguable? The best defense in the league, you know, so he's got to be on the list.
Yeah, they're good, but I'm not convinced by them. I don't know what it is. Like, you look at that team. You look at the names on that team. There is no scenario that Miguel Almirón should be in a third-place Premier League team. I don't care how many goals he has this season. I don't care. It's Miguel Almirón, all right? I'm not buying it.
That's why, to me, it's even crazier, like, that they're as high as they are. They have so much money. They haven't spent any,
yeah.
We have not gotten some crazy expensive signing. Like, I thought they'd just go, like, excuse my French, balls to the walls and just spend the way we're spending right now. But they've been so pragmatic. So smart. I'm, like, looking at whoever is in charge of that transfer team.
They're doing good.
Kudos to you because, like, wow. Like, I think Trippier is the most, like, big-name player that they've signed. And all credit to Kieran Trippier, fine. But, like, there's so many other players that they could have just stacked $100 million on. You know what I mean?
That's yeah,
no. No, it's been...
That's I agree. Scary.
I think they did it the right way, like you said. I think pragmatic is the perfect word. Because I was worried that they would start just spending like crazy. And I think Chelsea's a good example of how you can't just spend a bunch in a window and integrate everyone. You know, it was bit by bit. They're building something. And I think the intelligence of their recruitment has been phenomenal. But It'll be scary when they do start spending, because they will. They will. I think this summer will be a, you know. Oh, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
No, they're doing it right, building those stepping stones. All right, let's move into fourth, though, where we have a three-way tie. And this is what I'm talking about. Doing this with three people is a little interesting, because two of these players were left off of people's lists. Mm. They still made fourth. So we have Howlers. We have Howlers. All right. The three in fourth place are Trippier, Reece James, and Ben White. Ben White was the only one on everyone's. Trippier was left off of Azam's, and Reece James was left off of Melita's.
What?
Yeah.
So I told Rohan why before. He hasn't played enough. I think Reece James is the best defender in this league by a mile. It's not even close. But I haven't seen him.
I get it. I get it. It's a tough list. You got to look for reasons to drop someone off to bring in people. I get it.
Exactly. And we all know how good Reece James is. I don't have to put him in my list for people to know that. But I looked at it at this moment in time, and we haven't seen Reece James since the end of last year.
I think seeing how Chelsea's defense is performing now shows how good Reece James is and how important he is to that team.
Our fullbacks are not in the team. You might as well just watch the season. Our team is built around fullbacks. And Reece James's hamstrings, apparently. and the drop-off is insane. I love all the Chelsea players. All of them bring me joy sometimes, but the drop off when one of the fullbacks is out, not even two, is not even, you can't even talk about it. It's terrible.
I put Reece James, I believe, first out of the fullbacks in my list. So I'm with you there. I'm just surprised he wasn't on your list. Like, still, even in like 10th. Even in like 10th.
Nah, if he was on this list, he'd be first. But if you ask me at the end of the season when he's healthy, yeah, obviously. I'm just in good faith in this very moment. I don't know.
Okay, that's fair.
That's why Kareem's on this list and he's not.
Let's move on to something. I was surprised, personally. Trippier, not on Azam's list. How come?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, again, I was like, I feel like I need to include a Newcastle defender and I include Botman. But, I mean, if you look at this list, technically, like, Ben White was in this tie as well, right? I have Ben White in this list, but, you know, Ben White and Reece James are the only fullbacks I had on my list, you know? And Ben White's a center back, fullback type thing, you know? I was just way more into the center back frame of mind for me in terms of defenders. You know, I think Kieran Trippier is a great two-way defender, but I like him more sort of, you know, whipping in crosses into the box. And I think Newcastle defend as a whole, as a unit well, but like individually to me as like a, you know, supreme defender, Trippier is there. He's good, but there's other people I'd like more than him.
Where would you put him out of the right backs, like out of Trent, Reece James?
He'd be high. He'd probably be in terms of, oh gosh, I mean, we could do this live right now. And I'd have Reece James one. I'd have, you know, I mean, I probably have Ben White two, just based on, you know, as he, if you, you know, class him as a fullback. And then Trippier would be somewhere between three and five for sure.
Okay. See, that's fair. Yeah, you did have basically just center backs in your list, so I get that.
Yeah.
All right. Ben White, who's basically a center back, was on everyone's list. I had my fucking doubts about him this season. I won't lie to you. I was proved extremely wrong. I saw him at right back. I saw Zaha rinse him in the first half. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this kid's done out here. But nah, he's a really good right back. And for some reason, he just developed this ability to go forward. And it's working. So, no, I had him fairly high in my list. I had him, I think, fourth. Yeah, I had him fourth. Okay, yeah, that's my piece on Ben White.
Yeah, I think five. And sort of the same thing with Saliba. Actually, Ben White came in last season, correct?
The start of last season, yeah, last summer.
Okay.
Two summers ago, yeah.
Yeah, there's something about his aura, right, that I find so interesting. He is a great right back, we've talked about that, but he doesn't watch football. Like, he doesn't give a shit about football, and he's that good.
That's true.
And I'm not going to sit here and say he doesn't try hard enough because he doesn't watch football, but in my head, I'm like, what if you tried, like, the same amount as somebody who is, like, living and dying for this sport, you know? And I'm not saying he doesn't. Like, mm-hmm. I just think, you are already so fucking good. Like, you know what I mean?
I think he's Arteta's dream. Like, Arteta players, like, he's just so composed on the ball, so good with both of his feet. He can hit a pass with both of his feet. I think that, based on what I've heard from him, too, he is, like, an incredibly, like, he's very, very coachable as well, you know, and he puts in the work in terms of, like, off thing. But, yeah, you're right. If I mean, imagine if he was a student of the game as well, like, you know, which I don't know. I don't, he very well could be, you know, but, you know, I agree, the people who live and breathe football. But, man, I've been really impressed with him as well, because I will agree with you, Rohan, at the beginning of the season, especially in the Crystal Palace game, I was like, is he, like, you know, I know he can play right back, but I like him more at center back. But he's grown into that role so well. And just, you know, in terms of retaining possession, I mean, he's your dream. He doesn't lose the ball, really.
I think him not watching football kind of helps him.
I was just going to say, maybe him not giving a shit about it is what keeps the calm. He's like, yeah, it's not really that big of a deal, right? Like, I'll just come in. Mm-hmm.
Bro's just going out and, like, having fun. Yeah, he's
leaving. It also means he probably doesn't pay attention to media narratives, too, which absolutely play a role in a lot of players' performances.
Good point.
And good, just to follow up on that, I know this is in about midfields or just the video, but, like, I think that's part of the reason why Mason Mount has been so terrible the last couple of weeks. I think the media paying attention to all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Has gone.
He's also just, like, not that good of a player.
Okay, we're not getting
it. All right, back to defenders.
Yeah. I will fight.
That's just me. That's just me. All right, yes, back to defenders. We have a true center back in at third. And this person was also left off of a list. Hmm. This is the howler from me, Thiago Silva.
Ooh.
I forgot him.
That's okay. Okay, we can allow a forget.
I forgot him. But even if I put him in first, he would not have gotten he would have been tied for first place, actually, even if I put him in first.
Wow.
So I had him first. I just, like, oh, yeah. I love Thiago Silva, especially at his age. You just watch him, and I think of, like, what do I value in a center back? Someone who is intelligent positionally. You know, they never get outfoxed in terms of where they want to be. And I think Thiago Silva, more so than almost anyone in the world, is the king of that, you know? He's just always where he needs to be. He's calm. I had such big doubts about him coming into the league at his age. And I mean, I thought that would hold him back, and it hasn't at all. You know, I think he's been a victim of, like, you know, Chelsea's poor performances as a whole, but in terms of a center back that I just, like, think also exemplifies intelligence, Thiago Silva.
Yeah, for sure.
I agree.
And I can confirm his reading of the game is something I don't think is rivaled by anyone. Sorry.
You could.
yeah, and I think an added factor, right, like you were saying, Azam, he's on year 4, and we're about to extend him. Like, that's crazy.
Is he on year four?
Yeah, he's gonna be 39 this year. And you can't see that when he plays.
No, you can't.
There's a 39-year-old out there covering the entirety of Chelsea's back four. And I think something that is going slightly unnoticed, like, now, we're signing a ton of young center backs. They get to learn from one of the very, very best center backs ever. At a time in which you think he's in the twilight of his career, but he just doesn't show any signs of stopping, I think him spending time with Badiashile, with Trevor Chalaba, is going to be so impactful in the years to come. I think that is not really talked about, but we'll see it in the next couple of years for sure.
I think how good he is it can't be overstated. I mean, his positioning, like you said, is amazing. He reminds me of Maldini towards the end of his career. We all know Maldini was known for those tackles. I think Maldini was averaging like 2.5 tackles per game at the beginning of his career, but towards the end, he matured so well and was so positionally aware. He was only sliding, I think, once every 2 games. He was just, his interception numbers were through the roof. And yeah, he's not the most flashy, but he's literally a Rolls Royce at the back, does everything perfectly, reads the game on the cover, steps when he should. And I think, you know, honestly, right now, Chelsea don't have a good second center back, and they're not doing terrible defensively, and it's just because of Thiago Silva. Like, I have my doubts about Chalaba. I have my doubts about Badiashile. Koulibaly hasn't been up to the task. Thiago Silva has been.
100%. I'm pretty sure I said this last season, just like off the cuff, about Thiago Silva. I, out of turn, said, I'm pretty sure he's had more goal line clearances than any of our goalkeepers, just to be facetious. And then I looked it up, and he did.
Wow.
Like, at 38 years old, he is putting literally life and limb on the line. And like I was saying, Lisandro Martinez, the ruthlessness, the fearlessness. Like, he knows at his age, he might not, like, move the same. His body might not react to a challenge the same. He doesn't give a shit. He's going to do it the same way he did it when he was 25.
Yeah, what's...
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, what's crazy is the way Lisandro Martinez does it, it looks gritty. The way Thiago Silva does it looks so fucking classy, and that's the difference.
Like butter.
Well, I also always thought of Thiago Silva sort of like that classy center back, and there's center backs in this list that, you know, obviously I put them above because, you know, they're known for being classy, but what Molina said is so spot on. Like, especially this year, the fact that he's still standing out, he can get down and dirty, too. I mean, there's been so many times where I've watched a Chelsea game wanting them to lose, and, like, he will just dig something out, or, you know, they'll get an opening. The opposition team will get an opening in the box for a clear shot, and the next thing you know, there's Thiago Silva laying out, getting a perfect block. And I was like, why did I ever think the opposition team was going to score in that situation? You know, Silva's around.
And one last thing. I know we've been talking about him for a little bit, but as he's aged, I think he sort of adapted his game. You know, the legs aren't maybe moving as quickly as they used to. He's changed it around. He's adapted. And I think that is extremely underrated because rarely there's few Chelsea players where I look at them and I'm like, when you have the ball at your feet, I'm not worried. He's one of them. And I like the age thing. I just can't get over it. I just can't get over it. Like,
well, No. Another player who is aging, possibly not as nicely, though, in second place. Not, okay, see, the thing is, second place, and only two people had them on their list. It's Virgil van Dijk at 18 points. Thiago Silva was at 17, and the three-way tie in fourth place was at 16 points total. Virgil van Dijk. Molina, you left him off. How come?
I, one, forgot about him.
Okay.
Two, he's just not moving me. You know, he's not aging as gracefully, and that's not his fault, I guess. But the times we have seen him, it's just not been up to par at all. Like, a very vivid memory in my head is him defending with literally his aura in that one game, with him with his hands behind his back, just staring like this. And part of why I think Liverpool are on the decline is that, because Azam was saying earlier, Trent basically has free roll, free reign, whatever, on the right-hand side. Because he knows Virgil will clean up damn near anything. And that's just not happening anymore. So in this moment in time, that's why I think Virgil is, like, not in my top 10, which is sad. But because he's been fantastic for them for a long time. And Father Time.
Yeah.
Nah, Virgil, for me, Virgil can be in that Phil Jones role right now, and he'll still be in the top 10. Goated. It started going downhill when he got rinsed by Bernardo Silva. But he is just so good, and I don't think he should be punished because Klopp decided not to buy a second center defensive mid and just kind of not an entire midfield.
No, that's
and
fair.
He has to do literally everything on the right side.
For sure.
And in the center defensive role and in the midfield and play the long balls over the top. I will never punish him for that.
I might have just forgotten him. Sorry.
Yeah. I was in between Silva and Van Dijk for first, and because I think they both exemplify to me, you know, phenomenal reading of the game. Van Dijk is obviously just like such an imperious force on the pitch, and with the ball at his feet, he's phenomenal as well. But it was that question of, like, there's been a couple times this season why he would have normally been a shoo-in for me at first, but he's down to second, where I don't like how much he tries to look nonchalant at times, and I think that, like, hurts him, you know? Where I'm thinking about, like, he doesn't want to be clipped almost. You know what I mean? He doesn't want to get embarrassed and go in too hard. There's still that bit of like arrogance in himself where he's like, I'm too good to, you know, sort of lay out. Where I was looked at Thiago Silva and I'm like, he is someone who's got all the class. He's got all the pedigree and he will hit the deck if he needs to. He does not care. Whereas like Van Dijk would rather like, you know, shepherd them into an area and sort of play off of vibes at certain points. You know, he's still such a phenomenal defender. But I think just that almost like lack of that humility from Thiago Silva or that lack of like care about, you know, okay, I'm going to get down. And if someone fakes a shot and rinses me, it's fine. At least I like did everything I could to get that ball back in that situation. Sometimes Van Dijk has let me down a bit, but I still think, I mean, he's class. He could have easily been number one on my list. I mean, his peak is the best center back peak I've ever seen personally, you know? And I think, like you said, too, Liverpool's lack of a midfield, the fact that it's had knock-on effects, you know, towards the back line, where they're just getting put under a lot more pressure than they should be. And, you know, we're seeing some cracks there, but Van Dijk's still, he's still Van Dijk for me.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, I'm with you there. All right, the best center back in the Premier League, Jonathan Stones on everyone's list. I love it. I love it. Ball-playing center back, can defend. Everyone still thinks he's that kid over at Everton. That sucks. Everyone thinks he's that kid at Man City who, at the beginning of his career, who sucked. I wanted John Stones out. I'm glad he stayed. I'm glad he didn't leave. He's developed into England's, honestly, best center back. City's best center back. I mean, he's complete. He does everything. I think he could maybe score a little bit more, be a little bit more of an aerial threat. But aside from that, defensively, perfect.
Yeah, honestly, I think you've said it all. He's really coming into his own. How old is he? Do you know, like, off the top of your head?
27?
That's kind of like a late rise, if you know what I mean, in terms of reaching your peak. I don't hope this is his peak. I hope
he 28.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's even more impressive. I think I just like when older guys are, like, matching it in the league.
No, I love John Stones. I think I'm glad he's getting his flowers. I think he was sort of flying under the radar. I do think that he's getting a little bit overrated now, almost, where he's like,
oh,
everyone
come on,
like,
he just started getting rated.
I know, but like he started getting rated, and I still, to me, he's not the best center back in the league, but he is. I love watching him in terms of, you know, he's got everything you want in a center back. If he strings this together for, you know, two and a half straight seasons, then yeah. But, you know, he's getting rated now. I'm happy for him. He's phenomenal. And, you know, I'm not upset that he's first on this list.
What put him over Thiago Silva for me is that he plays for Manchester City, I'll be honest. That was the only reason that I had John Stones first.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right.
This was very tough.
Let's run through it one more time. Because there's 11 places, but there's like 30 players on this list because of the ties. So, tied in 11, Tim Ream and Christian Romero. Tied in 10th, Luke Shaw and Aymeric Laporte. 9th place, Raphael Varane. 8th, Gabriel. 7th, Trent Alexander-Arnold. Tie in 6th, Lisandro Martinez and William Saliba. In 5th, by himself, Sven Botman. The three-way tie for fourth place with Kieran Trippier, Reece James, and Ben White. And rounding out the top three, Silva, Van Dijk, and John Stones. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you guys next time.